I believe is pro se. Is there anybody here today on behalf of Ms. DeYoung? If not, we will turn to the appellee. Ms. Tangeman, good morning to you.
May I please support? I'm Erin Tangeman, Assistant Attorney General, representing the state of Nebraska. DeJong was convicted of first-degree murder and use of a deadly weapon to commit a felony for the death of her husband, Tom. Her convictions were affirmed on direct appeal, and we are now before this court following the district court's denial of post-conviction relief without an evidentiary hearing. The majority of the appellant's claims on appeal are either procedurally barred because they involve allegations of district court error at trial or are not raised in her post-conviction motion. And I do not intend to discuss any of these claims unless there are questions, but I do want to briefly discuss DeJong's allegations that counsel on direct appeal was ineffective for failing to challenge the sufficiency of the evidence presented at trial and that she is actually innocent of the murder of her husband.
Could you explain why your comment on why certain issues are procedurally barred? Because is it not correct that she had the same counsel's office on trial and on appeal?
Yes.
So,
but the state's position, her assignments of error on appeal are allegations of district court error at trial. She has not raised them under ineffective assistance of counsel claims. She is raising them as district court error, and thus those claims could have been raised on.
And to the extent they're permissible in the post-conviction context, what's the constitutional claim? I'm denied due process due to these district court errors.
Yes, to the extent that she's raised constitutional claims, it would be a due process claim.
Okay.
And that due process claim is something that could have been raised on direct appeal.
Okay, thank you.
Regarding her claims that are not barred, she cannot establish prejudice and she cannot establish that she has any type of viable claim of actual innocence. The evidence presented at trial was overwhelming. She was the only person with Tom at the time his injuries were inflicted. The evidence indicated that Tom had been home during the days leading up to his death, despite the appellant's claim that he was in South Dakota with his alleged mistress. DeJong had a motive to kill Tom, and she had expressed that she hated him, she wished she was dead, and she was looking to get rid of him. Blood droplets were found throughout the house, including on the appellant's clothing. There was testimonies that the injuries to Tom's body were caused by some type of instrument, such as a hammer, and a blood-stained hammer was recovered in the appellant's truck. The blood was tested and determined to be a mixture of her DNA and her husband's DNA. The appellant's DNA was found on the handle of the hammer, and Tom's DNA was found on the head of the hammer. In addition, the appellant had bruises and sores on her palms that were consistent with swinging a hammer. Because of the overwhelming evidence of her guilt, her claims on appeal fail. And unless this court has any additional questions, we would ask that you affirm the judgment of the district court.
How would you respond to what appears to be several claims of error regarding prior bad acts and 404 evidence? That was treated on direct appeal, wasn't it?
Correct. To the extent that she is raising the same claim, you can't repackage it as a constitutional claim. It's already been addressed on direct appeal. She could have raised it as a due process claim, and it has already been litigated by this court, and I don't think it's proper for post-conviction review. And unless there are any further questions, we ask you to affirm the judgment.
Thank you very much. We will go on then to the second case of the day, which is State v. Donald L. Sidgwick.